Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, the 16th of June, Pope Francis pays a visit to the Italian Marches region. As tensions rise in the Gulf, the Pope during the Angelus appeals for dialogue and peace. And an Irish film documents a 21st century voyage to Santiago de Compostela by traditional boat. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. Pope Francis this Sunday paid a visit to the Italian Marches region. Towns including Camerino were devastated by an earthquake 3 years ago and nearly 300 people died. After a visit to the town's cathedral, which was damaged in the quake, Pope Francis celebrated an open-air mass in Camerino, reflecting on Psalm number 8 and on the words, remembering hope and closeness. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
The earthquakes that struck Camerino and nearby Italian hill towns on August 24th and again on October 30th, 3 years ago, left nearly 300 people dead and buildings in ruins. At a magnitude of 6.6 on the Richter scale, they were the most destructive earthquakes to hit Italy in over 30 years, after those that devastated L'Aquila in 2009. The towns and the people have been struggling to recover ever since. Pope Francis began his homily by repeating the words of Psalm 8, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" The Pope said these words came to mind when he thought of the people of this area. Faced with what you've seen and suffered, he said, with houses collapsed and buildings reduced to rubble, the question arises, what is man ever? What is he if his hopes can end up in dust? In quoting from the psalm, Pope Francis used the Italian verb ricordare, which literally means to remember or to return with the heart.
Ritorna col cuore a noi.
Answering his own question, he said, God remembers us as we are in our frailty. He returns to us with the heart because we are in his heart. We may be small under heaven and powerless when the earth trembles, the Pope continued, but for God we are more precious than anything. Remembering is a key word for life, said Pope Francis. Remembering gives us the strength not to surrender. The Pope admitted that bad memories return even when we don't want them to. To free ourselves from the negative memories that keep us prisoner, from the regrets that paralyze us, we need someone to help us carry the burdens we have inside, he said. Jesus doesn't offer us the quick and easy solution of taking away our burdens, explained the Pope. Instead, he sends us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who transforms the wounds of the past into memories of salvation, because the Holy Spirit is the rebuilder of hope.
Perché lo Spirito Santo è il ricostruttore della speranza.
Pope Francis then proceeded to speak about the nature of hope. Earthly hopes are fleeting, he said. They always have an expiry date. The hope of the Spirit, on the other hand, is a long-lasting one because it's based on God's fidelity. This is the hope that confirms we're not alone, added Pope Francis. It's the hope with strong roots, which no storm of life can eradicate. This is the hope that, according to St. Paul, does not disappoint. Pope Francis continued his homily referring to this Sunday's feast of the Most Holy Trinity. The Trinity is not a theological puzzle, he said, but the splendid mystery of God's closeness. God is not up there, distant and indifferent. God sends us the Spirit, knowing that it takes more strength to repair than to build. The Pope recalled how almost 3 years have passed since the earthquake struck in 2016. The risk is that after the first emotional and media involvement, attention falls and promises are forgotten, he said. The Lord, instead, pushes us to remember, repair, rebuild, and to do so together, without ever forgetting those who suffer. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
After celebrating Holy Mass in Camerino, Pope Francis recited the Angelus prayer, thanking those who helped prepare for his visit and remembering the saints next door. Francesco Merlo has more.
Before reciting the Angelus after Mass, Pope Francis recalled the United Nations World Refugee Day. This day invites everyone to show solidarity with men, women and children fleeing wars, persecution and violations of fundamental rights, he said.
Questa ricorrenza invita tutti alla solidarietà con gli uomini e donne, i bambini, in fuga da guerre.
May our ecclesial and civil communities be close to them and attentive to their needs and sufferings. Pope Francis then proceeded to greet not only those present in Piazza Cavour, in the town of Camerino, but also those who, through radio and television, have united themselves spiritually to this holy mass. He remembered especially the sick, the elderly, and prisoners.
Estendo con affetto il mio saluto ai malati, agli anziani, ai carcerati.
And thanked all those institutions, organizations, associations, and individuals who worked for this brief but intense visit. May you walk together and joyfully in the way of faith, hope, and charity, said Pope Francis, faithful to the many witnesses of holiness of which your land is rich. Aside from famous individuals like St. Nicholas of Tolentino, the Pope said he was thinking of the many figures of saints next door who have not been beatified or canonized, but who supported and transformed families and communities with the strength of their Christian lives. In this regard, Pope Francis mentioned the beatification on Saturday in Sardinia of Edvige Carboni. He described her as a simple woman of the people who in her humble daily life embraced the cross, giving witness of faith and charity. The Pope invited those present to applaud the new blessed and said we should give thanks for this faithful disciple of Christ who spent her whole life in the service of God and her neighbour. I'm Francesca Merlo.
During his Angelus, Pope Francis also voiced his concern over increasing tensions in the Persian Gulf. I call on everyone, he said, to use the instruments of diplomacy to resolve the complex problems of the conflicts in the Middle East. I also renew to the international community my heartfelt appeal for every possible effort to be made to promote dialogue and peace. In the latest developments, Saudi Arabia has accused Iran of conducting recent attacks on oil tankers along a key shipping route in the Gulf. Nathan Morley reports.
Tensions have continued to rise in the region, with Saudi Arabia joining the United States in pointing the finger of blame at Iran for the recent attacks on oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Iran has described the accusations as being totally unfounded. Both ships were struck at dawn last Thursday by what US military officials believe were mines. Relations between the United States and Iran have deteriorated significantly since the US President Donald Trump took office back in 2017. He abandoned a nuclear deal and significantly tightened sanctions on Iran. On Sunday, the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman said his country would not hesitate to tackle any threats. He said he did not want war in the region, but would not hesitate to deal with any threat to his people, sovereignty, or territorial integrity. Soon after the incident in the Gulf last week, the United States Navy made public a video which claimed showed an Iranian Navy boat disconnecting an unexploded limpet mine from the hull of one of the two tankers. One of the tankers is Norwegian-owned and the other is owned by a Japanese shipping company. Iran, though, has brushed off such accusations, with the foreign minister, Javad Zarif, accusing Washington of making allegations without a shred of factual or circumstantial evidence. Furthermore, Iran has accused the United States of aggressive behaviour. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Tens of thousands of Hong Kong residents, mostly clad in black, packed the city streets on Sunday in a show of opposition to proposed legislation that has stoked fears of expanding control from Beijing in this former British colony. Despite the bill being suspended, the marchers are demanding that Hong Kong's leader first scrap an extradition bill that would allow some suspects to be sent for trial in mainland China and then resign. Youth unemployment in South Africa has become a national crisis, President Cyril Ramaphosa said on Sunday at an event commemorating youth activism during the apartheid era. Unemployment inched up to 27.6% in the first quarter, official data showed in May, underscoring the task faced by Ramaphosa and his ANC party, which won re-election last month. An expanded category of unemployment, including people who have stopped looking for work, rose to 38% in the first quarter from 37% in the previous three-month period. A Jerusalem magistrate court on Sunday sentenced Sarah Netanyahu, the wife of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to pay a fine of more than $15,000 for misusing state funds. The sentencing comes after she agreed to a plea bargain that ended the years-long saga of just one of the high-profile corruption cases involving the Prime Minister's family. Allied French and Malian forces killed 20 militants in an operation in a part of northern Mali where Islamic State operates. Mali has become increasingly engulfed in violence since a Tuareg uprising in 2012 was hijacked by Islamist militants, prompting France to intervene to push them back the following year. Attackers believed to belong to the Fulani ethnic group raided the ethnic Dogon village of Sobanda last Sunday and Monday, killing 35 people according to the government, although a local authority maintains the real figure is 95 deaths. Authorities say a tourist has drowned in Switzerland's Lake Geneva after her boat was capsized in a driving storm. Another person was killed in nearby France after high winds brought down a tree on her campsite. Argentina, a massive electoral fault has been seen in Argentina and Uruguay. They've been left without power. There are also reports Brazil and Paraguay have also been affected. The Camino de Santiago, or Way of St. James, has become one of the most popular routes for pilgrims. But how about embarking on the Camino on a traditional boat? An Irish film documentary that has won praise at various European film festivals recounts the journey of four men as they set sail from Ireland on an inspiring but at times perilous expedition to northern Spain. The executive producers of the film, Porig and Sheila O'Line, were in Rome recently to talk about the film entitled The Camino Voyage, an epic 2,500-kilometre modern-day Celtic odyssey. They came into the studios of Vatican Radio to talk to me, and Sheila explained how the project came about.
Danny Sheehy, who is the, the leader of the project, came up with a plan. He had walked the Camino previously, but he had always wanted to do it by sea. And he comes from an area in Ireland where people in medieval times would have sailed from there to northern Spain. Again, the boat that they used was built by Danny and Liam Holden, one of the other crew members, and they travelled around Ireland in that. But they came up with the idea of doing the Camino, or trying to do it, in what this little boat, which is called a Navogue. And originally the project was entitled on Facebook Navogue Natinta, which means the little boat of the tents, because they were travelling in this little boat and they were camping in the tent at night, so that it was to be done at a very simple level. The film developed accidentally because T.G. Cahir, which is the Irish language TV station in Ireland, heard about the project and thought that it would be interesting to document it. And so they asked Donal O'Kaelicher, the director, who, all credit to him, came on board at the last minute and basically followed the crew all the way over 3 years, and out of that managed to edit a very large number of hours of filming down into what is seen today in the film. So it was unplanned. There was no script. There was no casting. These are just friends who come from a very small area in the west of Ireland who decided to do the Camino together by sea.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Thank you for joining us.